Tasmat,
Sarvatmana,
Rajan, Hari, Sarvatra, Sarvada, Shrotavya, Kirtitavya, Cha, Smartavya, Bhagavan, Nrinam, Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan, Hari Sarvatra Sarvada, Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, Smartavya Bhagavan Rinam, Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan, Hari Sarvatra Sarvada, Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, Smartavya Bhagavan Rinam, Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan, Hari Sarvatra Sarvada, Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, Smartavya Bhagavan Rinam.
Therefore,
Sarva, all Atmana, soul, Rajan, O King, Hari, the Lord, Sarvatra, everywhere, Sarvada, always, Shrotavya, must be heard, Kirtitavya, glorified, Cha, also, Smartavya, be remembered, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Nrinam,
by the human being.
Translation, by the human being, singular. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Shukadeva Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore, because in the previous verse he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of bhakti yoga. The bhakti yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods, like hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service in love, becoming friendly, and offering all that one may possess. All nine methods are bona fide methods, and either all of them, some of them, or even one of them, can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadeva, who is the powerful incarnation of Godhead. And since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the supersoul of everything, he should therefore be heard and glorified, should be heard and glorified everywhere and always. That is the special duty of the human being. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish. Let me read that again. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish transmitted by man-made machines. Machinery is not bad, because through the machine, one can take advantage of hearing about the Lord. But because machinery is used for ulterior purposes, it is creating rapid degradation in the standard of human civilization. Maybe Srila Prabhupada foresaw Facebook, etc. You know, all these. And I mean just data transmission. Okay. It is said here that it is incumbent upon the human beings to hear, because the scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, are made for that purpose. Living beings other than human beings have no ability to hear such Vedic literatures. If human society gives itself to the process of hearing the Vedic literature, it will not become a victim to the impious sounds vibrated by impious men who degrade the standards of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who is perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. All the great acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Saraswati Thakur, or even in other countries, Muhammad, Christ, and others, have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and space. This is called Sanatan Dharma, or Bhagavat Dharma. Sanatan means eternal, always and everywhere. Bhagavat means pertaining to Bhagavan, the Lord. The Lord is the master of all time and all space, and therefore the Lord's holy name must be heard, glorified, and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. The word cha includes all the remaining processes or methods of bhakti yoga, as mentioned above. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan, hari sarvatra sarvada, shrotavya kirtitavyas cha, smartavyo bhagavan rinam. O king, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastutya Deshitarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vajkapatarubhyas chakripa sindhubhya evacha padidanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. How nice to be with all you nice devotees again. And just what a nice verse from such a nice book. Everything is just nice. Is this just the next verse?
Yes.
It is. It's just the next verse. Very good. And I thought it might have been selected because it's just such a nice verse. But anyway, very good. It's our good fortune. It's really just a wonderful verse. So Srila Prabhupada begins by referring back to the previous verse and previous verses, actually. And while pointing out and explaining, even in some detail, it's, you know, quite extraordinary how Srila Prabhupada makes us aware of the presence of the Supersoul, the Lord in the heart. It's really quite uncanny how Prabhupada step by step connects up different very essential points in sequence and then brings out how it's all establishing the presence, the existence and the functioning of the Lord within the heart, Supersoul, Paramatma. And while bringing this out and while the Bhagavatam, the verses are bringing it out, then it comes to this point that therefore, because of all this, therefore, we should always hear about, glorify, and remember, and other things too, but at least it begins with hear about, then glorify, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we should do this always and everywhere. And this is just, you could say this is the perfection of life, at least in terms of the development of Krishna consciousness. From the point of being conditioned within this material world to the point of the development or reaching the actual perfection of life, Krishna Prema. And then the thing is that, one thing is that having eventually reached that point, then what do? You carry on. Yes, Krishna. Well, the processes, the different activities which make up the process of devotional service, they are not simply means to an end, and the end is separate from or different from the means, but the means is the end also. Hearing and chanting, or Prabhupada mentions here, it's actually from Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. These are the nine processes of devotional service. As given by Prahlad and as accepted, it's not simply Prahlad's idea, but this whole sort of, it's almost like a hierarchy, or certainly it's a sequence. There's the element of it being a sequence there. This is accepted by the great authorities, This is how Krishna consciousness develops. And then even eventually, when Krishna consciousness has developed, this is what is there continually. It just goes on. It's not like in some cases when you are trying to learn something, for example, some subject matter, or maybe not just subject matter, but some sort of practice, that when you become expert and qualified in that particular activity, then the different things that brought you there, they fall away. Yeah, like, well, you know, if you're just going through some normal educational process on the material level, then you have to learn A, B, C, D. But after a while, you don't have to repeat A, B, C, D. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all this sort of thing. In the beginning stages, you've got to repeat it. And even, you know, at least in some schools of thought, when I was young and was at school just as a young child, we studied Latin. Not as just because we wanted to learn Latin, but because English language is, to a significant degree at least, not completely, but to, you know, a reasonable degree, it's rooted in Latin. And it can help you. Well, the idea is that it may help you to develop your knowledge of English if, first of all, you learn Latin. Yeah. So, but then once you get into the swing of the English language, you don't need to carry on studying Latin. In fact, when I was a child and we were studying Latin, we had a little nursery rhyme, I forget the whole thing, but it began, "Latin is a language as dead can be." We didn't really like studying Latin. A mo, a mass, a mat. Yes. So, and that applies. If you're learning how to operate a computer, learning how to drive a car, then you have to learn certain basic functions. But after a while, you just, you don't need to refer to those practices anymore, because you've basically got it. But in the process of Krishna consciousness, well, here we are. We are chanting Hare Krishna, and this is the Yuga Dharma, and in Goloka Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, the topmost devotee, is chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada makes that point in Nectar of Devotion in the 18th chapter, where he lists out the 9 main symptoms of bhava, or what he refers to as ecstatic love for Krishna. And then he elaborates, first of all, he lists out 1 to 9, and then he elaborates a paragraph or so on each one just to explain and clarify. And in one, he talks about how Srimati Radharani and the gopis, or at least Srimati Radharani, was doing something, and then she just chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it's not that Srimati Radharani or any of these great devotees, they think chant Hare Krishna, that's for the beginners in Cape Town. That's for the novices. We've gone beyond that. We're on a higher level. Hearing about Krishna, different recitations of the qualities, the pastimes, the instructions, the glories of Lord Krishna. It's not that at a certain point that the devotee should think that, okay, you know, we've done that, now we move on to the next step. And in other words, that hearing about Krishna falls away. No, actually it becomes more intensified. It becomes more intensified qualitatively, quantitatively also, as the devotee progresses, and even as when the devotee has reached the perfectional stage, these activities carry on. And therefore, we all should understand, and it's put here so strongly by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. And of course, as Prabhupada points out, that where it says Shrotavya, Shrotavya meaning hearing, Kirtitavya or Kirtitavyas glorifying, Smartavya remembering, these are the three which are specifically stated here. But then the word cha is there. Cha, meaning and. This indicates all the others. This is a particular technique of Sanskrit grammar that you can, if there's, you know, there's so many lists of different things, the qualities of a devotee, the qualities of Krishna, and so many things. And if you want to refer to a particular list in some context of Krishna conscious discussion, then really all you have to do, here three are mentioned, the first three, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hearing, chanting, remembering. Here three are mentioned, but all you have to do really is just mention one and put cha there, and it's understood. Just like, as in Sanskrit grammar, if something is repeated, is stated three times, that means there's no scope for questioning, doubting, sort of trying to bring up some alternative idea. There's no scope for it. That's it. It's done. So similarly in Sanskrit, all you got to do is just give the first one, and then it's understood. Oh, okay. All the others are included. Like very famous verse, I'm sure you're all familiar with. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Noi Shrava, well, this is okay. Shravan Adi. All right. It's sort of the same difference. Shravan Adi Shudachite Kareye Udoi. Nitya Siddha, the eternal Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, the eternal perfection of love for Krishna, Sadhya Kabu Noi, Sadhya meaning eternally. It's always there within. And Shravan Adi, if you perform the process of devotional service beginning with hearing, then kareye udoi, then that love rises in the heart. Yeah. So cha or adi. Yeah. Can be used like that. So, yes, therefore we, in our earlier stages in Krishna consciousness, we must know that the foundation is these nine practices, nine activities. And therefore we must always and everywhere engage ourselves primarily in these activities. But of course, as Prabhupada makes the point here, that all nine methods are bona fide methods, and either all of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any process by any of the methods of practice. Isn't that a very strong statement? Without hearing sufficiently and properly, not just sufficiently and not just properly, but both, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And you know, we find in India, you know, there's so many interesting things to be observed in India, because it's the place of the whole culture. It's the place of the law. And it's the place where the Lord established the whole culture, Vedic culture, the topmost of which is Krishna consciousness. And the remnants are still there. The remnants are very much still there in many ways. But unfortunately, in many ways, they're just the remnants. Things have become deteriorated. And things have become deteriorated means the practices, the activities, all the things you got to do to get to some point, or particularly to get to perfection, but even just to get into it, to start off with, they've all become deteriorated. To a very large extent. It's really quite amazing, actually. To a really large extent, although you can still recognize, not just recognize, but it's so clear. Yes. And if we go to a place like Vrindavan, perhaps, anyway, it's an extremely good example that in Vrindavan, a number of the very great devotees, means like the six Goswamis, these people, because there was a resurgence before Lord Chaitanya, there was so much deterioration, but then Lord Chaitanya came, and then particularly the six Goswamis came, and there was a great resurgence, revival, huge. Particularly like focused in Vrindavan to a large degree, and Bengal, but perhaps most particularly in Vrindavan, because the six Goswamis, they just based themselves there till the end of their lives. So they were particularly, well, first and foremost at least, they were hearing and chanting about Krishna and remembering him, etc., etc. And, you know, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. then serving lotus feet, then archanam, deity worship, vandanam, offering prayers, dasyam, serving in, you know, humble ways, and so on. But beginning with hearing and chanting, they were focusing on that. They were focused. But they did some deity worship. They did some deity worship. Although, mainly, they were hearing and chanting. And then they were also remembering. But mainly they were hearing and chanting. But they also did some deity worship. And, you know, I'm sure you're aware of the different deities that are or were, in some cases, in Vrindavan, which were worshipped by specific of the six Goswamis. Govinda, Madan, Mohan, and Gopinath. Of course, they were all moved a bit later. But some of them are still there. Gokulananda, Radha Raman, and a number of deities worshipped by either the six Goswamis or some of their associates, actual personal associates or followers. So they're still there. And they're still being worshipped. But if one observes carefully, one will see that the people who are worshipping them are not so much hearing and chanting about the Lord. They're really not so much. In fact, some of them, you know, I've been going there for so many years. Some of them, I've never seen them chanting, although they're doing arati. And, you know, they can worship the deity very nicely. Deity worship lends itself, you could say, to being taken in a more external way. Beautification and decoration and anyone coming and saying, oh, how lovely. But hearing and chanting, serious hearing and chanting, you got to get pretty serious. Otherwise, you reach a point. Sri Sri Nitai Mayapur Chandra Ki Jai. Otherwise, I'm hearing, well, it just doesn't lend itself so much to being easily, you could say, enjoyed, even, or at least appreciated, hearing and chanting. Yeah, it's more hard work. And if you don't work hard, you don't break through and get a taste for it. Who was it? Was it you last night? Was it you or it was somebody? What was it?
I said to Mataji that my advice to her in Krishna consciousness is get a taste while you can.
Get a taste, right. Get a taste. I mean, one could just take that in a very broad sense for just, you know, Krishna consciousness and everything that's involved in it. But particularly, it's really referring to hearing and chanting first. That was what you meant, wasn't it? Whether you knew it or not, that was what you meant.
Yes.
But I'm sure you knew it. Yeah. Because as Prabhupada says here, without not just hearing and chanting, but just without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And if you go to Vrindavan, as I was saying, and observe, of course we don't want to become sort of, you know, critical. But if we just observe the reality, then we see that the hearing and chanting is just not going on the way it used to, at least. The way the six Goswamis did it. and their serious followers. And the result of that is that even the deity worship has gone down tremendously. And, you know, the sort of first symptom of that, or most obvious, is that you go to some temple, like you go to the Radha Damodar temple, if you're familiar with that famous temple in Vrindavan, and on the altar are Radha Damodar, of course, but a number, I think three other sets of deities. What are they doing there? Because it's the Radha Damodar temple. Well, what they're doing there is that they used to have their own temples, but they just couldn't manage. They just couldn't manage to either get enough money, because it's expensive to worship deities properly. You know, our temple president from Durban, Radharadhanath Temple, you know what he told us the other day in the meeting, National Council meeting, that the cost of worshipping Radharadhanath last year, was 2 million rands. Hari Bol. And that's worship on a relatively, not extremely sort of complex or sophisticated level. It's somewhat simplified, not too much actually, but it's definitely somewhat simplified from, you know, the standards in some places like Sri Nathji and Nathdwar. The clothes of the deity are changed not twice a day, 8 times. And the deity never wears one set of clothes more than one time. Hari Bol. So, you know, I never asked them how much it costs. Although I must admit the outfits are really much simpler, which is not so nice also, you know, but yeah, so you get the idea. So those temples, the other temples closed. They had to close. They couldn't get the money. Maybe they couldn't get the devotees to do the service. They couldn't manage. They handed the deities over, and now they're all there in the Radha Damodar temple. And you go to a number of these temples and you see multiple sets of deities, and you must know, this is what happened. Yeah, so it's already gone down, even though in some places it's still going on, at least visually, it looks very nice. Like Radha Govinda in Jaipur, Radha Gopinath in Jaipur, even maybe Radha Damodar in Jaipur. But some places, basically, it's going on very nicely. But they're not so common. Those places are not so common. And some of them, what to speak of the devotees not being able to carry on the worship. They couldn't even maintain the building. And in some cases, the building doesn't even exist any longer. Or, you know, only part of the building exists. And it's all based on this very point that Prabhupada's making here in the purport. And even, you know, Srila Prabhupada did say that if we, as the members of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, if we do not preach actively enough, then the same thing will happen to us. And the way Prabhupada put it is that after some time, as we, you know, feel the weight, you know, 2 million rands a year perhaps, of worshipping the deity to a decent standard, Prabhupada said, we may wonder, why did our spiritual master leave us with such a heavy burden? But it's based on whether we are hearing and chanting, but ultimately based on hearing. Yeah. So therefore the preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement, it is the main thing, first and foremost, and it takes precedence over everything, even the worship of the deity. Doesn't mean, and we're not at all suggesting minimizing worshiping the deity, but still hearing and chanting and sankirtan, taking it out to the people and involving the people and getting them, helping them to become devotees, you know, which is so much easier said than done, has to go on. Just has to go on. Otherwise, well, yeah, this is what's going to happen. So anyway, the point, Prabhupada's first point is that hearing comes first. Obviously, if you don't hear, you can't chant. It's not possible. But, you know, sometimes you'll read, actually, we had a little discussion about this not long ago at all. It was, oh, I forget exactly when, but in this year, there was a discussion between some senior devotees. Which is more important, hearing or chanting? And some, you know, we read the statements here, hearing comes first, but there are some statements which appear to emphasize chanting. Anyway, that's okay. We shouldn't panic if there's some apparent little contradictions or things, you know, we can't quite put into perspective. Generally, we should take it that it's our own lack of qualification. But the thing is, if you don't hear, you cannot chant. But if you chant nicely, you automatically hear also. So, you know, therefore we're not just sitting here all day just hearing. We're also chanting. And even Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, out of all the many services we have in the Krishna consciousness movement, and he mentions some, enrolling life members, distributing literature, Prabhupada says, chanting 16 rounds a day is the first. Yes. Yes, so, hearing has to be there, but as Prabhupada says, what does Prabhupada say? Without hearing, how? Tell me. Prove to me that you are listening and not dreaming about what's for breakfast. Okay, that's there, but hearing in what way? And sufficiently. You know, these minds, I tell you, it's tough getting something in and keeping something. Wow. Sufficiently and properly. Not just sort of sufficiently, because you may just sit there, but it may not really enter. Yeah, you may sit there for hours, but it may not enter. So sufficiently has to be there, and Prabhupada specified, at least in terms of japa, 16 rounds a day. And Prabhupada specified also attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And not so much emphasis, but he did mention the Bhagavad Gita class in the evening. And then also one should do some reading of one's own. Yeah, these things are there. We're not just here to be Krishna conscious workaholics. Just work hard from morning to night for Krishna. Although we must work hard. Yeah, we Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness, there's no place for lazies or crazies. So yeah, we should be active in carrying out different duties and services for the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, directly or indirectly. Directly as much as possible, actually. Yeah. So, but if and we've had devotees, I've known a number personally, that they just got so busy in doing important services, they neglected their rounds. And then, well, they're not with us any longer. I think none of them are with us any longer, that, you know, the ones I can remember. Yeah, none of them are with us any longer. Because hearing and chanting, but first of all hearing, it is for our spiritual lives. It is like, you could say, food. If you don't eat food for long enough, well, first of all, of course, you run out of real energy. But if you just carry on, then sooner or later you just die. That's all there is to it. It may take a while, but it's just inevitable. So hearing particularly, and chanting, but first of all hearing, is essential. It's like spiritual food. And if we don't hear enough, first thing that will happen fairly quickly, it won't take long, we'll start becoming spiritually weaker, means more susceptible to material influence. And after a while, we'll die, so to speak, spiritually. Our Krishna consciousness will die and just go back into a dormant state as it was however many years ago before we met devotees and started getting into it. So you really, you know, if this is just like, if this is the main thing you get in your Krishna consciousness, this, you know, you should be okay. You should be okay. Of course, to really develop in Krishna consciousness, we do need to do other things also. But if at least we get this point and we become fixed on hearing and chanting sufficiently and properly, at least we'll probably survive in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Yes, that's how it works. That's how it works. So the thing is, well, the thing is, but and one thing is, that it's not just, we don't want to just survive. I made it. To the end of this life without blooping. I somehow got there. No! These things are nectar. It's amazing, actually. It's just amazing how much nectar there is. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, I cannot understand how much nectar there is in these two syllables, Krishna. But there's so much nectar that when I chant, I feel just very strongly, how can I taste and experience this nectar sufficiently with just one tongue? I can't. I wish I had 100 tongues. Then maybe, at least it'd be better. And when I hear these two syllables, then I feel, oh, how can I relish hearing this nectar sufficiently and properly with two ears. Well, at least we got two. You know, we only got one tongue. It doesn't stop people from doing double talk, does it? Being hypocrites. Or speaking hypocritically. But with just two ears. And he wishes that he had 1,000 ears. Because he feels without that, how can I really do justice properly to this experience, the feeling that comes? I can't. And then when those syllables go to my heart, because there's a direct line from the ears to the heart, direct connection. Therefore, I mean, that's at least one sort of perspective on the importance of hearing, or the potency, the power of hearing. When those two syllables go to my heart, they dance there in the courtyard of my heart, and all my senses become inert. Yes. Same thing doesn't happen so much with other activities. Not so much. At least more readily, more easily, and more sort of initially through hearing. Yes. And if you look, let me say one thing. Listen to this, devotees. Listen to this. If you're sitting here thinking, now when's he going to finish? My Lord, it's already 9 o'clock. What's the prasadam? Or some variation on these things. It means you've got to work on your hearing. All right? I'm serious. You've got to work on your hearing, and I don't exclude myself. Yeah. If, when we are sitting and there's nothing else we're meant to be doing but hearing, but we're not sufficiently and properly, but rather our attention is elsewhere. Even if our attention is thinking about, you know, during the day I've got to do this service and that service. You know, these are Krishna conscious things. But still, when you're meant to be hearing, you should hear. This is the foundation. And without that, your foundation, our foundations, will not be strong enough. Yeah. And when something is not strong enough, means there's a certain point of sort of stress or, you know, something like that, opposition, which will destabilize. Yeah. It'll be able to destabilize. But if we are really, as Prabhu said, if we have really got a taste, first of all for hearing, then at least we'll survive. But it's a good foundation for really developing in Krishna consciousness. Yes, so Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Oh, are you waving to me?
Yeah, I am waving to you, but not to ask a question.
Oh, right, it's all right.
Right, you talked a lot about, I feel you put more emphasis on sufficiently than properly. So I wonder if you could say some things about what does it mean to properly hear?
All right, I actually meant both, really. But if you don't do it sufficiently, you can't do it properly. There's a sort of natural sequence. Properly. Oh, properly, yeah?
Yeah.
Properly. Well, you know, the first part of properly is being attentive. You know, when we do these japa retreats, we have level one, we have level two, there's a few levels. But in every single one, at least my practice, and with others who do them, to my knowledge, it's their practice, we always do a session like an hour at least. Let us chant and hear attentively with to the exclusion of anything else. So the first part of properly is attentiveness. And you know, you probably heard it actually comes from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Harinam Chintamani, if I remember correctly. That he says that inattention is the mother of all the other offenses, or you could just say of all offenses. Yeah, because if your attention, there's a certain amount of space we have in terms of attention. Unless we fill up that space, so our capacity to be attentive is fully engaged. If we leave, you know, even if it's just 10% or 5%, which is, you know, relatively negligible, some would say, but we're leaving an opening for Maya to come in. And Maya Devi, you know, it's her service to press us. Yeah. Always. Are you leaving an opening? And the idea is that we'll realize, wow, I left an opening. Look what happened to me. And then we'll close the opening permanently, hopefully. So even though it appears she's almost like belligerent, you know, attacking us, but it's for our benefit. And, you know, she is so attentive in her service. Oh my, she's a pure devotee in the most elevated sense of the term. And that's her service, and she does it. So we don't need to worry. If we leave even a 1% gap, then she will take it. She will, because that's her service. And she's never negligent at all. 24/7. If there was 25/8, she'd been completely, totally fixed in her service without a hint of deviation. So, you know, that's the first part of properly. And, you know, you can say more, like you should pronounce properly. None of the sort of the skimming japa, super speed japa. How quickly can I finish a round? Yeah. As we heard many years ago, that Prabhupada heard a devotee chanting something like Snik-Sik-Ram-Nam-Ge-Ge-Ge, Snik-Sik-Ram-Nam-Ge-Ge-Ge, something like that. And we heard many years ago that Prabhupada asked him, what is the snik-snik? Who is the snik? Yeah. Are you trying to get the mercy of snik? Do you want to go to snik-loka? Anyway, you know, we heard Prabhupada said it. Whether he did or not, it's a good point, actually. We can accept it. So, yeah, we've got to hear it first. That's the first thing. But then we've got to chant it properly, pronounce it properly. And to facilitate that as much as reasonably possible, we should chant in a suitable place, in suitable company, at a suitable time. And these are all considerations as far as properly is concerned. You know, I don't know if I've mentioned here, maybe I did, quite some years ago, one devotee in Lithuania, very nice devotee. He told me that, it was many years ago, probably 20 years ago, 15 at least. You know, it's a whole long story, but the point is that he said, you know, I have such a job. I have to travel around the city visiting different businesses like factories, and he was selling scientific equipment. And I don't have a car. I have to use a bus. So, and in the buses in Lithuania, here's a heads up for you if you're thinking of traveling by bus in Lithuania, they play heavy music loud. Boom, boom, boom. You know, like sometimes you hear the taxis, you can hear them coming from 100 meters away. Boom, boom, boom. So loud music, kind of aggressive music. So he told me it's like that. Well, his question was, how do you chant nicely, japa, when you're in a bus and first of all this is boom, 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 and it's packed with people. It's just full of people. How do you chant nicely? So I told him, you don't. You get a different job. That's what you do. Which he did. And things picked up. Yeah. You know, Lord Krishna in the 11th canto, it's very interesting, it's worth looking at, describes a number, I think it's 10, but it's a number of changes a person can make in their life, their like their whole lifestyle, which will facilitate elevation, at least in the modes, from a lower mode to a higher mode, and also to transcendence. You can change, I can't remember all of them offhand, but you can change the place you live, the company you keep, what you read, what you eat, your sort of your schedule, the timings you do things. Yeah, he actually says what mantras you hear. Yeah, and there's various other things, a few other things. And you just change those things, and they'll sort of naturally help you become more elevated at least. Yeah. But if you change them in very Krishna conscious ways, oh, they'll facilitate your hearing and your whole life in Krishna consciousness, but first of all, your hearing. Is that okay? I mean, it's a big subject. Hare Krishna. Oh, are you waving again?
I just want to glorify you. It's such a wonderful verse.
Oh, yeah.
Raj, you did such an incredible job of bringing out all the points. And we need to hear these things actually regularly.
So of course we do.
Bottom of my heart, I really want to thank you. It's an incredible elucidation.
You are too kind. But the subject lends itself. Yeah. It demands, actually. It is. Yes, Rahul.
Is it okay to understand the fact that if one doesn't have taste, then one can acquire taste by hearing others chant?
Say that again.
If one does not have taste, can one acquire taste by hearing others chant? Because that's the situation that I'm in.
Okay. It can help. But without the personal effort to hear yourself chant your japa. Like if, for example, you have headphones on and you just listen to Srila Prabhupada chanting japa, for example. It's not, you know, it's nice if you've got some spare time or something like that, but it's not a substitute for making the effort to get your hearing together of your own rounds. Although it's nice, you know, we recommend, like I was saying, you know, a nice place, nice company. We recommend to chant japa with Srila Prabhupada chanting japa quietly in the background, but there in the background. But, I mean, we should listen. We have to chant japa. We have to listen to class. Would you believe? You know, I've been a devotee X number of years, 46 plus. A few days ago, I listened to one of my own classes for the first time. Yes. So, you know, that's also part of hearing. It's not just japa. Although japa, you know, it's our first thing, 16 rounds. When we when we hear classes, or when we just focus on hearing specifically, you know, we should hear Srila Prabhupada. One should hear one's own spiritual master. One can hear other devotees, like bona fide devotees. And it'll help. It'll definitely help. But when it comes to chanting japa, at least, there's no, what would you say, what's the word? Anyway, there's no sort of replacement for working on your own japa. It has to be. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Jai.